Every once in a while, I have a flashback to my childhood, especially when I drink. And I remember I was about 9 years old. My father took me fishing at a nearby pond. And he rented or something an aluminum rowboat. And we sat in there for over an hour, like two doofuses with fishing poles in our hands, just sitting there, not talking, just watching the pond scum accumulate. And I remember saying to myself and looking at my father and saying to myself, why are you doing this to me? Do you hate me that much that you would take me to the middle of a pond and make me sit there with you with a pole in my hand with nothing happening? Why do you hate me?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Ah, the memories.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Seriously? Wow, that's wonderful. Wow, that's cool. Nice. That sounds really nice. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Please hold your applause to the end of the program. It confuses me when you do it early. I lose my place and everything. Hey, how you doing? My name is Ron Van Dam. I do this show every single weekday. We've been doing the national program here for about 3 years almost. And we're heard by dozens of radio stations, on dozens of radio stations across the country at various times and locations and places and things. And actually, we're heard internationally in a couple of countries. We actually get feedback, and these people probably can't even speak English, which makes the show a bit more palatable for them. And Wi-Fi. Yeah, very, very funny. Can't understand what I'm saying. So thank you for that. And I've been in broadcasting for 30 freaking years. I did a television show for 20 years and then a radio for almost 30. And it's stupid. It's just stupid. It's just stupid. What do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm an engineer. I've built bridges. Millions of people cross my bridge every day. What do you do, Ron? I don't see why that's important. Can we talk about something else? And it's true, on other radio programs, they talk about politics, and they talk about terrorism, and immigration, and irrigation, and they talk about all these important issues, but you come here to just relax and stop talking about important issues and take a look at the stuff that you deal with every day in life. This is your home, baby. I wish you were in that boat with me and my father when I was a kid. And we only did that once. And actually, I think I caught a fish after 17 hours of sitting in the boat with my father, eating sandwiches that smelled like pond scum at that point. And I caught what's called a sunfish. I didn't even know what a sunfish was. I had no idea. It's a tiny little flat fish, a little bit larger than a goldfish, I believe, if I recall. You can't fillet it because it's too flat. and you can't eat it because it tastes like crap. So, although probably tons of omega-3s. So I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know why that flashed back to me. I really don't know. Maybe I was subconsciously thinking of fish, and then it came up. We have a great guest on the show today, kind of featuring this guest. His first name is Daryl. His last name is Type 2 Diabetes, The Owner's Manual. That's the name of the book he wrote, by the way. And whether you have diabetes, type 2 diabetes or not, it really doesn't make any difference as far as this book is concerned, as far as I'm concerned. I've used this as my Bible, and it says right on it, The Owner's Manual, so I own it. And I keep it in my kitchen. It lists in this book, in the appendix, which I've never had removed. I still have my appendix and my tonsils. In it, it lists every single food that you put in your mouth and what the carbohydrates are. And you'll find out why carbohydrates are so important to being healthy and losing weight if you don't eat them. And this helps you along. It doesn't give you recipes, and it doesn't give you menus, so you don't feel like you're chained down. It gives you the information, and you use your head, and you create your own menus and your own decisions. What a novel idea. Everybody tries to make things so simple for us that they dumb us down. Tuesday, breakfast, half a bowl of bran, one egg, and a piece of celery. Lunch, half a cup of cottage cheese. Screw you! Don't tell me what to eat. This is not the communism here. I will eat what I wish to eat in a healthy manner, and this book does that. It's just wonderful. And if you happen to have type 2 diabetes, it's more important. But if you don't, this is just a way to be healthy, a way to lose weight. Good idea. Good stuff going on. I love carbohydrates. I do love them because they involve some of the most wonderful foods on the planet. Pasta, enriched flour, processed. Pasta is so freaking tasty. But you have to put the sauce or crap on it. Otherwise, it's not wonderful. The potatoes, Irish people love this thing. Rice, cultures consume tons of rice. In the fields, people picking it with large hats on their heads. Carbs, man, and bread. Oh, bread. Oh, man. A warm piece of bread coming out of the oven. It's like, sometimes if a woman comes out to me and says, I'd like to have wild, unbridled sex with you, or you can have a piece of bread, I often go for the bread. That's how I love. However, you can learn not to do with these things, at least not on such an intense basis, and you really do feel better. I think it's wonderful. So we're going to speak to Daryl coming up a little bit later in the program. It's a little bit of an extended interview because it was just, I could have talked to him for hours. I could have eaten for hours, but I'd rather talk to him for hours. And apparently I can even have cheese. So, and I love cheese as well. Because cheese goes with everything, man. It goes with everything. You name the food, it goes with it. Maybe except for clams. I've never had clams and cheese before, and I probably won't. So let's just leave it at that. Some things don't go along. And some people I've met, I don't get to get along with them either. So it makes sense.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Darryl Wine joins us now. He's written the owner's manual, Type 2 Diabetes, and this is good because half my audience is probably concerned about this. It states here in the thing that I received that about 30 million people in this country have type 2 diabetes. Do you think it's even larger than that?
Absolutely. In fact, estimates are that at least 100 million people have blood sugar problems.
Mm-hmm.
Many are type 2 diabetic or pre-diabetic, but only about 30 million have actually been diagnosed.
Yeah, physicians will diagnose you with diabetes if you have borderline high blood sugar, oddly enough, I have found out. So the numbers are kind of astronomical.
They really are, and amazingly, the specific criteria for making the diagnosis really is for people who've had it for many years.
Yeah, yeah.
We really need to catch it much sooner.
Mm-hmm. But as when I've discussed this topic before, I've always remarked, and people such as yourself have remarked, that there's no reason why people can't eat as if they had diabetes because it's a healthier way of eating anyway.
That's very true.
Yeah. So this is the owner's manual. It comes with the car, and our bodies, I guess, are the car.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. What made you decide to write this book?
Well, in my final year of medical school as a PA, I developed the disease myself.
Uh-huh.
And within the first year of dealing with it, discovered that really the way most people treat or manage this disease is not the optimal way by far.
Mm-hmm.
And just through trial and error, I learned how to control my blood sugar entirely by just simply changing my diet.
Wow. How deep into diabetes were you? I don't know if that's a proper way of putting it, but I mean, was it borderline? Was it just over the line? Where were you there?
No, actually, I checked my blood sugar in the clinic one morning because my vision had been changing slightly, and it was over 400.
Uh-huh. Oh.
But I had no other symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And
interesting.
So over 17 years of treating diabetic patients myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, I finally, somebody convinced me, why don't you just write a book?
Yeah.
Instead of doing all this handwritten notes and talking and so forth.
Cool. I'm glad you did.
Thanks.
Where does exercise fit into all of this, or is that just an accoutrement to everybody's life?
No, it actually does, because when we use the muscles, we're actually burning up glucose, which is the sugar that's the fuel, the main fuel of our body.
Okay. All right, so that is important. Okay.
In
a modified sense, I assume. In other words, we don't have to join a gym and get on heavy equipment or treadmills and things necessarily.
No, no. Okay. But I must emphasize that just minimizing the intake of sugars and starches is by far the most important thing to do.
In your book, you do something which is worth the cost of the book alone, not that there aren't other parts of it that are that are cost worthy, but you actually list all the carbs in order of the richest carb down to no carbs at all, and they're in numerical order. It is like such a wonderful, wonderful way to look at things.
It is, and as far as I know, it's unique.
Yeah,
the only book that has this. I actually have two tables that comprise half the book, really, of many hundreds of foods. The first table lists them in order greatest to lowest in carbohydrates. The second table is alphabetical.
It's perfect, and it helps us actually formulate our own eating plans and our own diets, and it makes your brain put alerts out for the foods that we probably digested and inhaled, and then you see the numbers on it, and it's like, oh my God, I'm on like the worst side of the scale possible here.
Right.
Yeah. How do carbs and sugars relate to each other? In other words, are carbs and sugars the same? Do they burn the same? Are they the same thing?
Well, first of all, think of the word carbohydrate as an umbrella term.
Okay.
It includes sugars and starches.
Okay.
Because a starch, a molecule of starch, is simply a long chain or cluster of chains of sugar molecules hooked together.
Mm-hmm.
It's pure sugar in concentrated form.
Okay. So they're both on the same. Okay, I get it. So if I formulated my lifestyle and ate my major meals in the low carb range of like four carbs to no carbs, would I indeed lose weight?
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
No doubt about it.
So I can eat fish and chicken, of course, minus the sauces and stuff, because that adds on to it. But even so, but I can eat the proteins and good green vegetables and actually lose weight and be healthier.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. Why have I wasted so much of my life? I'll tell you why, because the other stuff is damn tasty.
It is. It absolutely is.
So,
no doubt about it.
So what do we do? What do you do to make these foods tastier without throwing on the heavy carbs onto it, like the sauces and the breadcrumbs and the breads? And what do you do as an accessory?
Well, first off, I make no attempt to minimize fat, which fat is a big part of taste.
Oh.
People like fats, they like sweets.
Oh.
And if you give up the sweets and just, you know, pamper yourself with the fats, it's not an issue.
Oh.
The other thing is keeping a variety. It's, if you try to eat the same thing all the time, you're going to get burnt out.
Gotcha. Huh. Now, most people who have diabetes also have cholesterol problems, I think. Am I right?
They tend to go together, absolutely.
Yeah. So why would I be not concerned about the fat so much? Like a steak has no carbs in it whatsoever, yet there's fat involved, saturated fat. So how do I balance that decision?
So, interestingly, we've been fed gross misinformation for many years that fat, saturated fat, is the cause of heart disease.
Okay.
And it absolutely, there's been no study that links them together at all. In fact, there was a New York Times article came out just yesterday that has documented proof that the sugar industry paid off the government many thousands of dollars to put forth this false information blaming fat for heart disease.
So there's no cholesterol buildup necessarily?
Cholesterol in your bloodstream, more than 90% of it is manufactured by your liver.
I see.
It has nothing to do with what you eat, or very little.
Okay. Now, you talk about fruits, and we're always told that fruits, natural and raw fruits and vegetables, is the way to go. Vegetables, we talked about. We said, yeah, that's the case. But I understand fruit, not necessarily.
All fruit has sugar. Mm-hmm. Some have less, some have more. Lemon has almost none. The berries tend to be the lowest that are palatable. The opposite extreme is the banana, which is the equivalent of a small candy bar.
Oh, okay.
So I actually recommend that my new onset diabetics avoid fruit altogether for the first 3 months until we see what their blood test looks like.
Right.
And then they can certainly, if they're under control, they can add in some lower carb fruits if they wish.
Yeah.
Fruit juices are an absolute no-no.
Uh-huh.
Really not recommended for anybody.
Oh, God, no. Fruit juices, my God, no. I can't even drink that crap anymore.
Yeah, the sugar in fruit is identical to the sugar, table sugar.
Yeah. And there's a large amount of sugar in milk, isn't there?
Yes, it's lactose, so it's not as sweet. It's a disaccharide. There's two sugar molecules hooked together. But it's there. It's very definitely there. And interestingly, the milk that has the most is fat-free.
All right. Will my body understand what I'm doing? In other words, if I don't eat pasta, and I don't eat breads, and rice, and potatoes, and I stay away from the starches, and those heavy carbs, will my body understand what I'm doing, or will it crave me to pieces?
Your body will actually, after the first few days, typically 2 to 3 days, the carbohydrate called glycogen that's stored in the liver gets used up, and then you start burning fat, which produces ketones, which is another fuel that the nervous system actually prefers. People tend to feel better when they're burning fat.
Okay. Can I talk to you a little bit longer, or are you on a schedule here?
No, I'm all yours.
Great. Okay. What about salts? I mean, they are used for seasoning, and they can make things a bit tastier. Is there a fiction about that, or is that indeed you got to be careful with sodium?
I actually don't address sodium in the book, but sodium has gotten a bad rap. It turns out that the amount of sodium that is in the literature that says that you should never exceed, actually people are healthier if they do exceed that by a certain amount.
Okay. All right. And what about nuts? I mean, I'm trying to think of a snack that isn't heavy carb-wise and not just eating celery. Are nuts the answer?
Nuts are fine. They have carbohydrates in them,
right.
But the key is moderation.
All right. So that is
don't take the Costco smokehouse almond that the entire container to the couch with you. Take a few out.
Yeah.
Leave the big container in the closet. The
problem is I'll get up from the couch and get more. I'm trying to think of something that'll satisfy me to the point where I can have a decent amount. But
Well, let me share a shocker with you.
Go for it.
There is only one crunchy snack that I'm aware of that has zero carbohydrates.
Okay.
And that's pork rinds.
Pork rinds. Wow.
That's the perfect diabetic crunchy snack.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I even know what a pork rind is. I don't think I've ever had one.
Chicharrones is the other name for them.
All right. Okay.
They're very popular in the Hispanic community, but us as well. I keep them around myself.
Is there a cuisine that seems to be more healthy, diabetic friendly than other? Well, other. I know some cuisines are horrible, but is there a cuisine that seems to work here?
Just quite simply minimizing carbohydrates.
Uh-huh.
So, and the book is written in such a way that it's extremely simple for anyone to read and understand.
Yeah.
The narrative portion can be read in less than 2 hours usually.
Yeah. It is. It's great. And again, that listing of the carbs, I can actually come up with my own menu as opposed to rigidly following somebody's day one, breakfast, eat this. Day two, dinner, eat this. I can't stand that stuff.
That's way too complicated.
Yeah, but this way I can actually make intelligent choices myself.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. Well, let's talk about the book. It's an owner's manual. It's Type 2 Diabetes, the Owner's Manual by Darrell Wien. And how can we get it?
It's available on Amazon. It's also on other online booksellers like Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Amazon has the paperback, the Kindle, and an audiobook version as well.
Okay, perfect. And Darrell, the proper pronunciation of your last name again?
Is Wine.
Wine. I got it wrong. You know, you got one of those last names that can go either way, actually.
I know.
What about...
It's funny when you have a Berger or Stein at the end, everybody gets it right.
I know. It's what you have to live with. Hey, speaking of that, very quickly, can we talk about alcohol? Because some of us love to have a good time sometimes. Are there directions we can go in where alcohol is acceptable?
It depends. If you're trying to lose weight, alcohol will always interfere because that becomes the preferred fuel. The body will burn all the alcohol before starting to burn fat. As far as blood sugar goes, it depends on what you're consuming. The lowest carbohydrate alcoholic consumption that's the healthiest is red wine.
Red wine. Okay.
Beer has quite a bit of carbohydrate in it.
Really?
And mixed drinks oftentimes have two. I like a margarita.
Right.
I just have them leave out the triple sec, which is loaded with sugar.
Gotcha. What about vodka? I heard vodka was like the lowest hard liquor.
Yeah, vodka has no carbohydrate in it. Uh-huh. It's just real concentrated alcohol.
Right.
And weight loss is an important part of controlling diabetes.
Okay. So that could be preferred, but there's sugars in all alcohols, I guess, right?
not really. If you wanted to just do vodka as a straight shot and minimize, keep it to no more than 2 servings a day.
Yeah, then you're okay.
That's okay.
Or even vodka and water, what the hell there, you know, that's...
Yeah.
Okay, good. Man, I'm glad I spoke to you today. right. Do you have a personal website? Not personal.
I do not.
Okay.
All right. I own some domain names in case I should need to, but with Facebook and these other things nowadays, you really don't even need one.
Kind of not so. So people can go to your Facebook page and hear what you got to say as things come along?
Yes, I post some memes and little tweets on my own website or on my own Facebook page.
And again, the Facebook page is?
Just Daryl Wine.
Okay. I'll spell it for everybody. Daryl Wein.
Correct.
And you got it. It's Type 2 Diabetes, the Owner's Manual. It's got to be the new Bible for you because I'm telling you, there's whether you want to lose weight or you have diabetes or you're concerned about it, you want to eat healthy, it just answers, it covers all of that for you, and it's great. I'm glad I spoke to you, sir. As I said, Daryl Wein, thank you so much for your time today.
Ron, thank you so much for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it, kids. Important information, I think. I really do believe that it's important. There are some interesting parts in the book, which are dramatic. There's a person from Nepal who says that in their culture, eating rice many times during the day is part of their cultural food. They all do it. It's tradition. It's part of them. And he says, is this acceptable for me? And the answer in the book is, don't eat rice if you have type 2 diabetes or you want to be healthier. No. There's always the question of entire cultures being based on rice, which is, there are many of them. And yes, they do exist on rice. They do exist on carbs and they add things to it. But is it the healthiest way to live? No. And, you know, it's interesting in this country, in the United States, we're kind of, your body gets used to crap. You know what I'm saying? It just gets used to crap. And it becomes a part of you. You know, I've always thought that, you know, if you lived in a different place, then somehow these cultures would be embedded within you genetically. And I don't know if it's true or not. And we didn't talk about that during the interview. That's why you need to pick up the book. It's called Type 2 Diabetes, the Owner's Manual. I like to call it Diabetes. I don't know why. It just seems to be the gentler way of saying it. Type 2 Diabetes seems hard. It seems like a very hard label. Type 2 Diabetes. It just seems a little bit more palatable to me. I hate labels, man. I hate labels. I hate labels inside the back of my shirt. I hate labels on my pants. I hate labels. I don't like labels. I don't like people labeling me. Oh, you're tall, therefore you're whatever. I don't like the labels. I remember going to my doctor like 5 years ago. I remember other things, I'm just saying. And I remember my doctor saying to me, Ron, you have some blood sugar issues. And I said, oh, I do. He said, yes, you know, when you do your blood tests, you're okay, you're good, but you're in that area that you have to start watching it. You know, your blood sugars are not elevated, but they're kind of like kind of close to that level. I said, oh, yeah. This particular medical association sends a summary of your doctor visit to you in the mail. I guess they do it for legal reasons or something. So I open it up, and it's from this medical group, and I open it up, and it says, Mr. Van Dam saw a doctor, blah, 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 and his bloods were good, and his served, and he showed concern about the toenail fungus, and an oozing pus coming from his face, and it said also diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And I looked at that and go, what? And I called up the medical association immediately and says, excuse me, I am diagnosed with type 2 diabetes? And they looked at the chart and they said, the records, and they said, well, yes, your numbers are kind of right at the lowest point of that. So technically, by our blood sugar number system, you have this disease. I said, no, I don't. I'm at the threshold of it. But I said, have the doctor call me. And the doctor called me later the day, and I said, doctor, you didn't tell me that I had type 2 diabetes. He says, yes, I did explain this to you, that you were just on the level where you're very, very close to it, so we're diagnosing you with it in order for you to be preventative. And she said, just be careful. Don't eat too many sugars and you should be fine. I said, yeah, but you've labeled me with a disease. I said, I don't want to be labeled. She says, we're not labeling you. These are the numbers. And when you come to this number, that you technically have this. I said, no, why are you doing this to me? And it affected me. And even though the number was just skimming the bottom number, I'm walking around. I have a disease. I have a disease. Oh my God, I have a disease. Of course, it's all relative. All my relatives have it. So, do I have type 2 diabetes? Yeah, I guess I do. Now, I've had blood tests since. Here's the effed up part of it. I've had blood tests since, and they're all below. They're below it. However, I still have that diagnosis, even though it was just that one blood test that was kissing the bottom of the scale. And that one time it occurred, I have now been diagnosed with this. And I feel like saying to the doctor, well, when do I not have this disease? But you know what? They're labels. They're labels. I know they're labels. I'm just playing with labels. I'm playing by government guidelines or whatever the case, or their guidelines. I don't know. But the point of it all is, I really should be careful what I'm eating. I really should be losing some weight. I really should be eating better. I really shouldn't be eating a lot of carbs. I shouldn't be shoving refined sugar down my throat and processed foods up my nose. I shouldn't be doing that. Why should I? Do I feel better when I don't eat breads and pastas and rice? Yeah, I do. I do feel better. So what the hell difference does the label make? Unless, again, it's on the back of your shirt. That sucker scratches the back of my neck a lot. I mean, just to change the subject for a second, which I do continually, the shirt companies now, the t-shirt companies, don't have those label tags in the back of the neck area anymore. Most of them don't. They print it on there. They silk screen it onto the inside of the back of the neck of the t-shirt, so there's no more tags there. And I applaud this as being one of those what took you so long kind of moments. I'll tell you something, and if you want to run out and make millions of dollars off of it, you go ahead, because I'm going to tell you what I think the next big thing would be, and it's my idea. I won't tell you anyway, because I don't care. We're friends, right? greeting cards. I have advocated for a long time, why do you print the price of the greeting card on the back of the greeting card? How tacky that is. I'm giving somebody a message from my heart that somebody else wrote. It says, I'm your deepest sorrows and I'm so sorry for your loss. Or, I love you, I cannot live without you. Please, please love me forever as well as we go through life holding hands in a loving manner. And then you flip the card over and it's like 75 cents. It's like the recipient goes, oh, you couldn't spend $6 on a nice card for me? It's the only product in the world that prints the price of it on the product itself, and yet it's a product of love and devotion and deepest sorrow. I say, let's stop printing the price of the greeting card on the back of the greeting card. Let's just stop it. Take a little price tag with a little sticky back and put it on there, and the 75 cents, and it comes up, peels off, and you give the card, and there's no idea how much someone paid for your greeting card. Isn't that kind of like better? I mean, you don't have Christmas gifts, and you unwrap the gift, and it's, oh boy, a toy train, $24.95. Wow, that's a great price. You take the prices off the gifts. So why do they make greeting cards with the prices that you can't take off the card? I know, pure genius on my part, right? Some of the greatest the greatest product changes in the world have come with just the obvious reasons. It's just
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But these days, you'll find me knocking out customers with the food at my restaurant, Betty's Cupcakes.
And that would be headshots.
Headshots. Take it from me, every meal we serve at Weenie World.
Headshots.
At Headshots is a world champion. Whether you're a lightweight, middleweight, or a heavyweight like me, bring your appetite to Charlie's Bait and Smokes.
Bobby, let's try headshots.
Two headshots. Try our new spicy chicken piazzole or some classic meatballs. And do you know where you'll find the juiciest, tenderest steaks in town? That's right, the Pet Depot.
Headshots again.
Headshots. We serve up a 28-ounce porterhouse that'll hit you so hard you won't remember eating it. So treat yourself to a night out soon at Wo Hop Fung's Authentic Chinese Laundry.
Wow, so wrong on so many levels. Headshots.
That's right, headshots. Every Thursday night, get 10% off when you mention my name, Bobby Marone. I'll see you soon at Mistress Elena's Domination Dungeon.
That explains so much, but headshots.
Headshots. You know, maybe we ought to start writing these things down.
That would be what the paper in your hand is for, Bobby.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, look. I have a little puppy dog.
Aww.
Isn't that cute?
Aww.
Yeah. And look, here's a pencil.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. And a piece of dirt.
Aww.
It's adorable, isn't it? It is adorable. And look what came out of my ear, yellow earwax.
Aww.
And a puppy.
Aww.
Oh boy.
A sign, everywhere a sign, blocking out the sea and re-breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the sign?
Well, it happened again. I was driving down the street, which is what I tend to do in my car. It's better than driving on somebody's lawn. And I'm driving down the street, and I see a sign stuck into somebody's lawn. Apparently, they're selling their house. And the sign says, for sale, and it has the name of the real estate company, and then a picture of a really hot chick. And I'm not talking about a poultry chicken. It has a picture of a woman. She looks like she's like 28 years old, long blonde hair, dressed really, really well, like an attorney or something. And her head is kind of peeking over her shoulder like, ooh, you're taking a picture of me to be put on lawn signs? Oh, what a surprise. And she's very attractive. And her name is on the sign. And I'm thinking, what is the point of putting the real estate agent's picture on a for sale sign for a house? And it was obvious to me that perhaps that's a lure. There are two reasons for doing that. It's for horny guys to say, I want to take a look at a house. Maybe she'll be there. I can go look at houses with her because she's pretty. Or maybe this woman whose picture is on the sign is extremely vain.
You know, I want to sell this house, and I want my picture of myself all over the world. I want everybody to know I'm a real estate agent, and this is me.
Oh, man. Whatever the reason may be, it doesn't sit well with me. And I laugh at the sign. My reaction is to laugh at the signs. I find them humorous. There is no reason for anybody to have a picture of themselves on a sign that's selling a house. Maybe a picture of the house, but you don't need a picture of the house because the freaking house is standing there right behind the sign. I'm confused about that one. And it's the reason that I probably can't sleep at night, because silly things like that bother me. Maybe that's why I do a talk show.
A sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the sign?
Oh, man. I'm out of time for today. I hope you stay healthy, and I hope you stay wise. Be healthy and wise. Use your wisdom to be healthy. If I'm not going to spend hours in a gym, which I'm not going to do, I might as well eat properly. It's the least I can do for myself. And the least that I probably will do for myself. But eating healthy, not eating the carbs, the potatoes, the pastas, it just really does make a difference in your life. And that's my message to you. Pick up this book, Type 2 Diabetes, The Owner's Manual. It's wherever good books are sold there. You can Google that. Type 2 Diabetes, The Owner's Manual. It's very, very cool. Very cool. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. Very cool. Very, very cool. So go forth and multiply. I wish you peace.